We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Go to tvacreditunion.com and become a member. They've been helping people become members and help them with all the services a bank can provide right here in East Tennessee for 85 years. It's not a bank, though. It's a credit union, which means it's a nonprofit, and they'd love to help you out at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union right here in East Tennessee.
Weird things are happening. Davey, hit that music one more time. So the other night, I'm watching the pregame selection show, breakdown bracket, blah, 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 blah. And they go to break. And I hear something that strikes me as very familiar. So immediately I look at the screen, thinking it's going to be some type of promo or something. It's a Werner ladder commercial. It's the ladder that the NCAA uses to hoist people up to cut down the nets. Right? Do you want to hear the opening riff to their commercial?
I mean, normally this wouldn't be a big no, but
right.
I mean, if you're bringing it up, then
right.
I guess so.
Normally you'd think, dude, you're going to play me the theme song from a Werner ladder?
We don't want to play commercials during the show. Like, people already have
commercials
during the break.
You're right. We don't want to do that.
All right. Let's hear it.
And stop.
I heard it the first time you played it yesterday.
What are you doing, Werner? They lifted Rocky Top.
They did.
They just punked it. They stole it for the opening ditty to the Werner Ladder commercial.
That's worse than Vanilla Ice.
Way worse. At least he added an extra dunt in there. How?
They just tried to make it a saxophone? I don't know. What is that?
Yeah. It sounded like a saxophone. How? Was that intentional? Because we mentioned it before break. Tennessee also the featured pick in the download our app and pick your champion commercial. Is something going on? You know, CBS is following around the team for March Madness.
Oh, they announced that. Yeah.
I mean, we're one of like, you know, eight teams or something.
I was a little worried when they announced that too. I don't want cameras distracting our boys.
They're fine on camera. They're good on camera. I want to know how Werner Ladders gets to lift the first like 9 notes of Rocky Top. Maybe 10.
I don't know what counts as far as a plagiarism with music and how much leeway you have.
It's like 2 bars, right? Well,
yeah, I don't either. I didn't expect you to. I'm just really just pointing it out. I'm not saying we need to like sue Werner Ladders. I'm just saying that is Rocky Top. There is no doubt about it. So my question is, was this intentional? And it's a hat tip by some guy in the Werner Ladder music division, which is funny that they might have that. Because I heard this. I'm looking down at my phone, and I look up immediately because I'm thinking, oh, man, we're going to get like a cool, you know, 45-second to a minute Tennessee kind of hype up.
Yeah.
This is a Tennessee Vols. They're one of your picks to it. No, this is a bunch of ladders. But could it also mean that Werner Ladders thinks Tennessee is going to be playing Rocky Top climbing ladders in the tournament? You only climb the ladders 2 times from now on out. So when you make the Final Four, when you win your bracket, and when you win the whole bleeping thing, as Jake Taylor would say. That's weird, isn't it? And then we're the pick. You know, Dickie V has us in the final game. Not Seth Davis. Someone else did. Was it Lenardi had us going to the Final Four? We're kind of a trendy pick. Tennessee, trendy. People know. 3 games in 3 days, can't do it. But we don't have to do that again. But the Werner Ladders, that's weird. There's got to be some reason. I just want to know the reason. I'm going to tweet at Werner Ladders and just ask them. Say, I don't know if they have a Twitter. Maybe they do. It's like, hey, the notes there. Just curious as to who wrote this ditty.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned cutting down the nets and ladders and the Final Four.
Yeah, I did.
Captain Touchback asked a poll question and said, how far must this Tennessee team go in the tournament for the season not to be considered a disappointment? I want to get your take on it. Do you say this season's already a success? I mean, it isn't if you lose to Colgate, right? Like, you can't say that if you lose to Colgate.
I mean, you have to separate certain things. So,
let's say they lost to Cincinnati, because he doesn't have that as another option. Let's say that.
Season's not success.
All right.
I mean, there would be successes in the season, but if you're saying the season as a whole, then no, probably not.
Well, I guess he's saying not be a disappointment. Is the season a disappointment if you lose to Cincinnati?
If you don't get out of the first weekend, yes, it is a major disappointment.
Oh, major disappointment. All right. The other options are Elite Eight, Final Four, and title game. Where do you draw the line? I guess you could do a write-in, Sweet 16, if you want. Is it not a disappointment if you beat Colgate and Cincinnati and then lose to, say, you know, Villanova?
I voted Final Four in this poll.
I did too.
But and once you get to the Elite Eight, when you're looking at just talent, if you're having to go up against Virginia, you lose that, and it's a close game. It was like just a back and forth, a real battle. I might be okay with that. But there is not another team in the lower part of your region that should beat you.
But if Virginia gets upset and you lose to, say, Wisconsin with the Final Four on the line and you don't show up, I'm with you. Like, it depends how that goes down for me. I mean, I kind of looked at it like you guys did. They're like, I wanted to pick what makes this season a success, and so I voted Final Four. If they go to the Final Four and don't make the title game, I still think, obviously, you've done something that no team has ever done in the history of Tennessee basketball.
Got to hang that banner.
So that's, to me, that's a success. If you make the Elite Eight, I mean, we've had some painful losses there under Bruce Pearl just, you know, recently. So, or to me, it's recently. I guess it's been a while now. But, I mean, it's one thing to play well and just lose. It'll be another thing. I guess that's the problem. And we had another listener asking kind of this question, like, what do we think that Tennessee fans are just afraid of the draw because they're just afraid of, you know, the whole being a Vol fan, put the cup on, the whole just like, it's almost, you know, that you're cursed. Is that why people are looking at the draw and trying to find reasons why it might be tough?
I think that Auburn game scared a lot of people.
I explained it as a trust issue. Like, people just feel like they can't trust the team to come out and play like in the top crust of their range every time.
Yeah. I mean, that, and the fact that the last game you saw was that has people nervous. But that said, I mean, I don't think Colgate's going to do what Auburn did. I don't think they're capable. Cincinnati's a different type of team. That, you know, Cincinnati's going to try to win a game like 67-65 or something like that. But, I mean, I also think that's just a lot of history kind of going against you. I think the Rick Barnes postseason success is weighing on that. Last year's disappointing loss to Loyola Chicago is probably weighing on that. But I mean, if you're asking me, like, what they have to do, I think you got to – I think Elite Eight at least. I mean, a Sweet 16 is going to be fine, and it'll feel good. But when you look at who your matchups are going to be in the Sweet 16, unless, you know, Villanova is just on absolute fire or one of those teams is just playing out of their mind, like, you know, when you kind of look at the bracket, you think you should be able to beat those teams. So I think an Elite Eight would feel pretty good. And then depending on who your opponent is, maybe you grade the ultimate win or loss based on that. Like if it's Virginia and you lose a hard-fought game to Virginia, and there's no shame in that. There's none. But if it's like Wisconsin
and you shoot crap.
Yeah, and you can't beat Wisconsin to go to your first ever. You know, it's like when we played Michigan State, like that's still Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty damn good Michigan State team. I mean, Draymond Green was on that team. Like they were, that was a formidable opponent. And you were really good too. So when you look at this bracket, you know, if Villanova or Purdue catch fire and you lose to them in the Sweet 16, I don't think that'll feel awful. But if you get to the Elite Eight and you're playing Virginia and you lose that one, man, that's not bad. There's no shame in losing to Virginia at all. None. Now, if it's Wisconsin or Oklahoma, Kansas State, Oregon, and then you lose that, yeah, that'll feel bad. Kansas State went on a run last year. Like, if it's Kansas State, probably feel like you should beat Kansas State. So I think it just all kind of depends. It depends on how the bracket unfolds. But I do think there's added pressure, and maybe they don't feel it, but I do think there's added pressure on this team because they have had such a successful season. They have been touted as one of, if not the greatest Tennessee team of all time, and they did not win or share the regular season, and then not only did they not win the SEC tournament, they got housed in the SEC tournament by Tennessee's former coach and a team that midway through the season was wondering if they could make the NCAA tournament. It's a terrible matchup for you, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But, I don't know, they came out flat, and maybe it was because of the game before. We don't really know. There's a lot of – but I don't think you're going to necessarily see a team like that again. So, like, it's kind of on Tennessee, really, based on opponent, until you play – I'd say until you play Virginia, like, it's kind of on you. So, if one of these teams catches fire, and I'm saying just based on what you're looking at, right? Because mm-hmm. I mean, you're the two, you're better according to the NCAA than everyone else, and you're half of the bracket. So if you get to the Sweet 16 and lose to, you know, Villanova, St. Mary's, Purdue, or Old Dominion, and it's because they went Auburn and hit 15 threes, as long as you don't get blown out, I think people will understand it. But if Tennessee goes and lays an egg against one of those teams, if it's Tennessee's fault,
yeah.
If they come out just blah, if they have 20 turnovers, if they can't get up and down the floor, if they look tired, if they're stupid with fouls, if they're taking dumb shots, then I think you wonder about how you remember this team.
If you, just getting away from this, but if you can make it to the Elite Eight in Virginia is not who you have to face, you have to feel incredibly good about your chances of going to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, if it's Virginia, there's no shame in losing to them. If it's not Virginia, you've got to win, because you can't lose to Kansas State. I mean, I think Oregon's pretty good. I don't think they'll get that far. Like even Wisconsin, Oklahoma, like those just cannot be the teams that keep you from going to a Final Four. So again, I've said it the whole time. I like the way Tennessee's bracket sets up potentially until you would meet a Virginia in the Elite Eight, and in that case, there's no failure if you lose to Virginia, and you know, as long as you don't play like total junk. But I think based on this, yeah, man, it needs to probably be an Elite Eight. They at least need to be on the last banner we do have. They need to at least make it that far, since they're not hanging a new one.
Well, I mean, really, expectations, you know, in college football, we talk about the expectation for Tennessee all the time. And did they meet it? Did they exceed it? Did they fall short? All this kind of stuff from preseason to the end of the year. And basketball is pretty simple. You create your expectation for the tournament with your seed line. Tennessee's a two. They should make it to the Elite Eight. They should be there playing the one, or whoever's knocked off the one. They should be there in the Elite Eight. And then I'm with you. Like, if they play well and lose, okay. I'll at least say that's not a disappointing season, if that's the case. I mean, last year, you know, they didn't get out of the first weekend. So if they get back to the brink where you've been before and come up short, then that's not a disappointment. But I think for it to be kind of the historic season we all want it to be, then you have to win that game and make the Final Four. And obviously then you can say it's the best team in the history of the program. It's funny that it may come down to one game, you know, one 3 or 4 minute stretch in one game. But that's college basketball. I'm sorry. I looked at your computer screen.
Shut up.
That's incredible.
Grit with the quick work.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Blue Jay Crest, they call me.
Blake says Final Four at least.
Man, I don't know. Like, isn't that just a lot? Like, hey, team that's won 29 games, if you don't make the Final Four, your season's stupid. I mean,
I can agree.
In the moment, yeah, like, that's what we want. Like, that's the goal. But, like, I think once the dust settled, like, in a couple months, as long as it's not, like, an embarrassing loss to Colgate or something, I think you look back on the season and say, man, that was a lot of fun. And then, to a lot of people's point, if you don't make it to the Final Four, that probably just proves the point of, yeah, man, you just do need some top 100-type talent on your team if you're going to be competing for a national championship. And Rick Barnes, to his credit, is getting that type of talent now to go along with the guys that he's developing. So, I don't know. Like, it just seems like a lot to say, make the Final Four or no one remembers you. No one cares. They don't like you anymore. Mac Williams says he disagrees. Because we lost the SEC tournament, I think we have to make it to the Final Four. If we'd have won that tournament, I would have been content with an Elite Eight. We need a banner. I don't think we need a banner. I think we really want a banner for this team because they are so special. They have been so special. In fairness, they do have one from last year. Like, they did at least hang a banner. And Grant's jersey will hang. Like, we will remember this team. But I understand what people are saying. Like, we wanted the SEC regular season, or at least a share. And it's the SEC tournament for me, man. Like, that was the one I wanted. Like, this was your best opportunity in 40 years to win. Well, maybe not. Maybe second best. Pearl should have won it when he lost to Mississippi State. Where was 15 threes that day, champ? But, this is a weird one, though, because I think most of the times fans want their team to win so that they feel good. I really do think a large portion of Tennessee's fan base wants Tennessee to win something, to hang a new banner for the players. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think that this team has endeared themselves so richly to this fan base that, yes, the fans want to win every game, obviously. I really believe that this is a please do something that no one else has done before because you guys deserve it and we want you to get that recognition. Obviously, Tennessee fans are going to enjoy it along the way. They're going to be cheering. They're going to be talking smack. They're going to be tweeting. They're going to be doing everything that fans with a winning team do. But I do think that that's why people are saying needs to be an Elite Eight or better, because I think they want that for this team. I mean, last year you had some injuries and stuff, so maybe you could kind of explain away at least a little bit the Loyola Chicago game. But this year, like, you appear to be going into the tournament healthy. Your setup, in my opinion, is pretty good. And I just think fans love this team so much that, man, like, for you guys and for us, like, let's do something that hadn't been done before.
You concerned about Rick Barnes and the history? I'm looking at it right now.
Well, if Rick Barnes has been a one or a two seed, he's never not made the Elite Eight. How's that for history? Anything else? Yeah.
No, I mean,
how's that for data?
It's a good question. I mean, he's also gotten bounced in the first round as like a six seed before. I don't know. I haven't looked at it. Do what?
Craig Newman tweets in and says, isn't this where we want to be as a program? Anything short of a Final Four or Elite Eight is a disappointment. Yeah, I mean, I think that's where you want to be. I don't know that we're there officially, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's putting added pressure on this team. I think that they want it just as bad as everyone else wants it. I don't like to say this team will be a disappointment if they aren't a Final Four team. I mean, this is the NCAA tournament. Like, so many crazy things happen in this tournament. If Tennessee catches Purdue on a night where they hit 16, 17 threes, like, what do you do? That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not ready to just blanket statement the NCAA tournament and say if you're not in the Final Four, regardless of what happens, it's a failure. Like, I'm going to remember a lot of fun moments, special moments from this season, long after Tennessee loses the final game of the year or wins it. But I don't know that I'm going to ever look back and say, eh. I mean, I'll look back and say, man, that team didn't maybe get all they deserved in the end if they don't, you know, do something that hasn't been done in a while.
2006, Texas was a 2-seed. Got to the Elite Eight, as you said.
Told you.
LSU upset Duke in the Sweet 16. They were a 4 that year. And then LSU beat Texas 70-60 to go to the Final Four. I don't know.
Was that Big Baby's senior year? I want to say he won, like, SEC Player of the Year. They had a good team.
It'd be about that time. 2006-ish, yeah.
Buckethead said, has to be the Elite Eight or better. Otherwise, what a waste of 5 months. And then replied to that with, the Auburn game situation happened twice within 10 days. Fans should be scared.
Yep.
Should be very scared.
The good thing is no one really in your entire bracket does what Auburn does.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, it's a lot of the opposite. Maybe you could say Oregon, but you wouldn't see them until an Elite Eight anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, their profile's that way. They're not as good a basketball team.
No, exactly.
You should still be able to beat them.
Like, Villanova, we played them. We had a lead on them last year. You know their style, and they're not nearly as good as they were last year. St. Mary's, you know, if Gonzaga can hit layups, they beat St. Mary's. Like, I'm not terrified of St. Mary's. Purdue is a Big Ten, slow down, play defense, hit some shots team. You beat them last year. They're way worse this year. Old Dominion, blah. Cincinnati, their defensive grind you down, you know, offensive rebounds, slow the game down. Iowa, similar to Purdue, only not as good. And then Colgate, who's just way less talented than you. I mean, I think if Tennessee brings a B-plus game, they're going to get to the Elite Eight. I think if they bring a B game, their B game, they could beat any team in their half of the bracket. You will need much better than that if it's Virginia and the Elite Eight.
I thought of another city in Iowa. Iowa City.
Was that a thing we were trying to do?
No.
Come up with other cities in Iowa?
Well, you mentioned Iowa. That's where they're at.
Sometimes I think you're just having conversations in your own head.
That's going to be a good game, Cincinnati and Iowa.
Everybody's saying it's going to be Cincinnati. It is a 7-10 game. I guess it could go the other way. Maybe that would be great news for Tennessee. We'll regroup. We'll clean out the cobwebs with Davey over there.
This segment was pretty much over anyway.
I don't know what he's – I don't know. Like, that would have been funny if we had something about other cities in Iowa earlier in the show. I just don't remember that.
We did that, but it was like an hour and a half ago.
Let the people who missed that one get in on this one.
Thank you.
We'll come back with more on the flip side. Stick with us. Hour 2 rolls on next. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Need to remind you that our March Madness live game broadcasts are brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams. Check them out online at ZillowKnoxville.com. The weather's nice. And it's that time of year when people buy and sell. So if you've been thinking about putting your house on the market, you can contact Travis and Emily McKinney. They'd love to help you sell it and get the best value for your home. Or if you're looking to move, check out all their listings at ZillowKnoxville.com and then contact them, and they'd be happy to help you look around for the perfect place right here in the Knoxville area and beyond. It's Travis and Emily McKinney. Like their page on Facebook and visit ZillowKnoxville.com for more information. They're the proud sponsors of our March Madness live game broadcast. We had the first four last night, and we'll have them again tonight starting at 7 o'clock. So we'll cut overtime short by an hour and cut into that first game of the first four tonight. And then throughout the NCAA tournament, if we don't have a regular local show, we're the exclusive home of March Madness here in Knoxville. And you can even stream the games as well this year, which is a new change, and which is it's really nice if you're having to, you know, if it's something where you're having to get some work done or something, just want to listen and not actually watch some of the other games outside of Tennessee, you can have it on through the FanRun app or FoxSportsKnoxville.com. And even later in the tournament, when it's a single game, we'll have those live game broadcasts for you as well. And it's all brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams. They'll also be out at Elkmont Exchange this Thursday and Friday doing some free giveaways, as Elkmont Exchange is our official watch destination for March Madness. I feel like this week, it's taking forever. Like, I'm ready
to go out of town.
Well, no.
Our boss is leaving tomorrow to go out of town as the NCAA tournament begins.
I mean, I'll be locked into it, but yeah. It's,
clearly. Clearly locked into it.
So we
on vacation.
Just taking forever to get here.
You just want to go on vacation.
A Belmont game can only get me so far through the, waiting.
Who leaves a sports radio company for vacation the first weekend of March Madness? This guy right here.
It's tough scheduling.
It's dumb scheduling.
I blame Knox County Schools.
You should blame yourself for saying, yeah, let's go. Oh, oops, tournament.
Yeah.
You know, the sports calendar is kind of important in our job.
It is.
You should probably be aware of it from time to time.
It's a good point.
Where are you going?
St. Louis. I'm visiting some big Vol fans. We'll be locked in. Be good to
go. Vacationing in St. Louis?
It's not really a vacation. I mean, it's the tail end of spring break, but it's not really a vacation. Just visiting some people for the weekend.
I always wondered why St. Valentine got a holiday, but St. Louis just got a really crappy city.
Are you going to like go in the arch or something? Take a ride in the old Mississippi? What else is there in St. Louis? Like, what?
We're just visiting some people. I don't know what we're going to do. It doesn't matter.
I've got some friends in St. Louis. You can go meet
say hi to
them,
too. Them.
Yeah, sure. No, he's a sports radio guy. He does sports radio in St. Louis. My good friend Austin.
We're actually visiting the people that that went viral after Tennessee beat Missouri's ass.
Oh, yeah,
they're out
right
there. Yeah.
Have a good trip.
Thank you.
Don't worry. We'll be holding it down here.
I have full confidence in you, Houston.
Well, you flipping should, but just, you know, it's like going on a vacation on like Florida week or something. Oh, sorry, guys. Is this a big game?
Lions out for the Florida game.
Didn't Russell miss all of fall break? Like, was that going into Alabama? I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, it was. It was Alabama.
It was like the whole week.
But that one's so big that it doesn't really matter because like the score's going to be like there's. It's one thing if you miss like Florida or maybe not even Georgia anymore, but it's like South Carolina. Like those games kind of matter. I feel like if you miss Alabama and Georgia, it's kind of like, yeah.
Can we keep it under 30?
Right. Like, that's the conversation all week. Like, that's a conversation you can miss. The good news is, you know, since we play Friday, you're not going to miss a post-game breakdown show. So you'll be back Monday for that.
Yep.
But just hang on. Just giving you a hard time.
I know.
You deserve it.
It's fine.
Dave, you said the line's out for Tennessee, Florida next year?
It is.
Oh, good. Yeah. This should be fun. Maybe I'll miss that week. What is the line?
14.5.
I want to say you missed the Friday of the Tennessee-Florida this past year anyway there, stone thrower.
Yeah, my grandmother's funeral. Sorry, Nate. Jeez. What a jackass I am. And then I drove back to make it in town for an event.
You did.
You really duffed this. You tried to get me, and you just punked yourself.
What's...
Vacation in St. Louis, grandmother's funeral. These things are not congruent, Hodges. You're going to sip pina coladas on the banks of the Mississippi River.
I wish.
I was in Brentwood with my family.
Hmm.
Can't believe you trying to compare apples and oranges. Shame. Shame on you. You know, I'm kidding. I didn't really care. I figured you might have just forgot. I just thought it was funny. I just want to make you feel bad.
No.
This is Make Nate Feel Bad segment, in case you didn't know. Davey and I had it all planned out. No, so it'll be Davey and me tomorrow and Friday. It's fine. That was a fun show last time. You know, the last time Davey and I did a show together, I had like the greatest prediction of all time regarding North Carolina Duke round one. So maybe I can come up with some juicy day one, day two hot takes for the NCAA tournament.
You predict a Duke loss? No, go Virginia. Virginia lost over the weekend. How about that? Round two. Ole Miss over Virginia. Let's just call it right now. Let's go. Come on, Kermit.
I have to make the call, and you have to be gone.
All right.
That's the rules.
Well, but that's a good one.
Throwing out
I'll
some options.
I'll think about that one.
Maybe go Oklahoma.
So we're 14.5 point dogs in the swamp next year. That's great.
Yeah, BetOnline AG put out the lines, and that was the only one I saw for Tennessee, but there were a lot of other
early game lines.
I haven't
even seen the official over-under for Tennessee yet this year.
I have not.
And they set a bunch. I wonder if they're waiting.
They set a bunch on, but they didn't set Tennessee's.
No, I'm wondering if they're waiting on, you know, like Gibbs and Solomon to potentially get cleared or not. By the way, Tate Martell cleared at Miami. And don't forget, like, the only reason Tate Martell transferred was because Ohio State got Justin Fields. He transferred because I'm not going to play here. Aubrey Solomon and D'Angelo Gibbs better get flipping cleared by the NCAA, or I am going to flip tables in public.
Going back to the line, they released the Florida versus Miami line as well. Mm-hmm. And Miami was pretty bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they're going through a coaching change.
Yes.
And Florida's only an 8.5-point favorite versus Miami, but a 14.5 favorite versus us.
What point of the season is that game? Is the Florida-Miami game?
They might play
I think it's week zero.
Opening
week.
Well, they're trying to move it up even a week further and play like the only game of that week, which is weird because that would give both teams an extra bye week, and I don't think that would be fair. But have you seen that? They've appealed the NCAA to move that game to week zero.
So like I mean, those two teams played in like Australia or whatever that week, basically like the August 20-something week?
Yeah. It'd be the Saturday before, you know, the first Saturday of college football. They have appealed.
Wait, this says it's August 24th already. Is that right?
I guess they won the appeal then, and that's when they're going to play it. So those teams get an extra bye week in the season now. So Florida will play Miami, get a bye week, two scrubs, and then...
But hang on, there are already two bye weeks. So, you're right.
I'm sorry. They get an extra bye week.
Yeah. No, you're right. August 24th.
It's in Orlando.
They're playing Miami in Orlando. Then they'll have a bye week on the last day of August when everybody else starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then their next game is September 7th against UT Martin. So it's okay. So the big days for college football this year is going to be August 31st. The last Saturday in August. August has five Saturdays this year. And obviously that'll be Labor Day weekend, right? The normal big start. They're going to play the whole Saturday before that against Miami and get that extra week. Holy moly. It's crazy. If Florida...
I want an extra bye week.
There's probably going to be a hurricane come through and alter some of those schedules.
Davey,
it always happens.
Stop.
No, what are you talking about? Like, when was the last time it didn't happen?
Shh. Come on. We hope it doesn't happen.
I'm not saying I wish that a hurricane goes through the state of Florida. I'm saying it's likely a hurricane.
There have been
will
plenty of years without a hurricane during football season.
Is that a disadvantage for Florida though? How much of an advantage is it? Like they're gonna have to spend a
disadvantage?
Week. Well, they're gonna have to spend a week like game prepping and doing game stuff for Miami when Tennessee can still be like setting a better foundation in fall practice for the season.
Yeah, but then they get 2 weeks before UT Martin. Or, you know.
Yeah. I mean
a bye week, but it's 2 weeks.
It swaps those weeks, right? It moves the game week up a week and then they can spend that second
week
doing whatever
they
want.
But it doesn't swap the week because they'll still start practice a week earlier.
No, they don't. You can't practice extra.
I'm pretty sure
there has to be a hard official start of college football in the NCAA, like when you can start practicing.
Right, and I think it's 4 weeks before your first game.
Well, so if that's the case, then it's a huge advantage.
I know that's my point.
But if it's like if it's like the Monday of a certain week for everybody, then that's different.
Yeah. I'm getting intel from Gainesville right now. They get to start their fall camp a week earlier.
Well, that's a complete sham.
They get an extra week of practice.
Tennessee should move their game up. Their first one.
Told you. It's kind of crooked. Thanks
Typical.
A lot. Miami. Florida. NCAA. If I'm Tennessee, I'm like, well, then we want an extra week of fall camp.
Yeah.
Like, we're starting 5 days earlier, and we're just going to get it. Hell, if I'm any team, I'm doing that.
I just start practicing. To hell with them. Unless, what are they going
to
do?
Unless they have to just not practice at all one of those bye weeks. I wouldn't sign up for that if I'm Tennessee, if I'm Alabama, if I'm Georgia, South Carolina. I'm saying if they get an extra week, we get an extra week. I'm sure our players would be like, damn it. An extra week of Pruitt's practice? No, thank you. It's just a strange thing. I mean, it'll be good for the game itself, and I'm not like against a good college football game a week earlier. I just don't necessarily love the idea of Florida getting an extra week of practice.
That's
and
a
an extra bye week.
Final segment coming right back at you here on 3 and Out for hour number 2. Stick with us. It's Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number 2. It's brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Check them out online at knoxstoneinteriors.com. You can get a quote right through the website there at knoxstoneinteriors.com. They're moving soon, too, so big sales going on at Knoxville's Stone Interiors. This is some bull, man.
I tried to tell you.
Well, I didn't understand. See, it's so much, I don't know. I coached high school. It's simple. Like, practice could start for anyone. I don't care when your first game is. On the Monday of a certain week every year, it was simple. Everybody start on the same day. But the NCAA, of course, has to write rules like this one. Are you ready? In determining the first permissible preseason practice date, an institution shall count back from its first scheduled contest. One unit for each day beginning with the opening of classes. One unit for each day classes are not in session in the week of the first scheduled intercollegiate contest. And two units for each other day in the preseason practice period, except that the institution shall not count any units during the preseason when all institutional dormitories are closed. The institution's team must leave campus and practice is not conducted. That is a one sentence.
That's basically saying you can't open up football dorms to start practice early.
It's also saying that practice starts based on when your first game is, mm-hmm. and there's all these ways you can count units backwards. You start from the first game, and you count units backwards to figure out when you can start practicing.
Correct. But that's why sometimes Tennessee players will stay in a hotel during fall camp and then switch over to the dorms. Because if you're within the window of days from your first game, you're apparently allowed so many practices or something. It's weird. I don't know. It's the NCAA. They're stupid.
I mean, that what I read was one sentence, and it doesn't even make any sense. Like, it's good grief. Who writes this crap?
But
it's, like
yeah.
it's like they hire the worst attorney coming out of law school and put him to work right for the NCAA.
Probably close. But, yeah, Florida gets an extra week of practice. Although, good point by my Gator contingent. He says a lot of people scheduled weddings for the 24th. A lot of people made travel plans for the 31st. And now it's all thrown up into a mess.
Oh, my gosh. I bet they're mad.
So he said it's great for this year, but Florida won't do it again. Fan base is pretty divided on the move.
But wait, if you – no, I love it. It gives you Labor Day off. Like, as long as you knew in advance, wouldn't it be fine?
But a lot of people didn't know in advance. That was the point.
Well, okay, so what he's saying is they wouldn't do it. But, like, if Tennessee did it for 2020, like, wouldn't that be great? I mean, if they have to move school up, I guess, to get the full benefit, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with it.
As long as you did it further in advance, it'd be fine. Is everybody... Everyone's going to start doing this, right?
Well, we've all kind of said the NCAA needs to look at that as far as moving the schedule up or back a week to add that extra bye week every year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This year, the schedule just kind of worked out to where you could fit two for everybody. At least in the SEC, and so they did that, and I think that's smart. I think they should do that every year. I think it should, with a 12-game schedule, it should be two bye weeks.
Well, the calendar this year allows it. The calendar next year doesn't.
That's what I just said.
So they'd have to move it up.
Right.
There's some 2020 vision joke in there, but I don't have it just yet.
Foresight is 2020. There it is. But, yeah, I mean, they should just do this for everybody. Hey, we're gonna allow you to practice a week when school may or may not be in session. You can open up athletic dorms, so on and so forth, or, you know, get your guys a hotel, whatever, and you can practice on campus. You can open up cafeterias, so on and so forth, because we want 2 bye weeks in the college football season. It's pretty simple.
It's not that hard. I mean, they should have a earliest date you can play for the NCAA and an earliest date everyone can practice and just make it the same. It doesn't matter. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's weird that they rely on, like, the school calendar individually.
No, it's not. We're student-athletes. The student comes first.
Exactly. Next year, the 2020, the first Saturday.
They wouldn't be missing anything. They would just be practicing. I mean, they're already on campus doing workouts and stuff anyway. Like,
it doesn't work like that, Houston.
But it does actually exactly work like that. Like for summer workouts and such. It's weird that they have the dorms open for a second session of summer school and then close them.
Yeah.
And then the team has to go to a hotel. And then, oh, athletic dorms are back open. And so you move out of the hotel and back into Gibbs or whatever they call that monstrosity now. It's just a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, this year with that the first real football weekend being August 31st, it's just it's a weird scheduling thing with the days of the week in the calendar. Next year, that big Saturday is not till September 5th, the 2020 schedule. Wow. And that's when Tennessee opens with Charlotte. So let's move Charlotte up. Play it on August 30th.
Get that extra bye week in there.
Get the extra bye week. Then that gives us 2 weeks to get set for the trip to Oklahoma.
Which would be nice.
Yeah.
So Oklahoma's game 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, an extra week before Oklahoma would be pretty helpful.
Mm-hmm. Then you get Furman after that. Nice little breather there. Mm-hmm. And then the SEC games are now back into the to be determined because this whole, you know, Georgia and Auburn and their whole deal.
That's right.
But, you know, usually that's when Florida would come right after that.
Hmm.
Like, what, the last Saturday of September in the 2020 calendar.
Back to something I mentioned earlier.
All right.
Given the fact that Tate Martell got cleared for Miami by the NCAA, Luke tweeted in and said, is there any reason why we don't raise hell against the NCAA if Gibbs and Solomon aren't immediately eligible? Like, if those two guys don't get cleared and Tate Martell gets cleared, is that not just like an egregious favoritism, unfair?
I don't know how they don't approve everyone's.
That's what I'm saying. Like, like Tate Martell transferred because Justin Fields was transferring to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason.
He even admitted that in some interviews before changing his story.
Right. So and how did that happen so quickly? Like he appealed and it was like, oh yeah, okay, sure. So if we haven't even had our initial transfer request answered, can we just go ahead and file the appeal now? Will they look at the appeal first? It's just, I mean, Aubrey Solomon is running with the ones. Gibbs is like, he looks like one of your best receivers so far through camp, and it's like, man, if we could just kind of know whether or not these guys are going to be available, that'd be pretty helpful.
Yeah, it'd be a complete joke, right? If I mean, like, everyone should be eligible now that wants to transfer. And maybe you were onto something a while back. You said maybe the NCAA, instead of having to actually change the rules, is just going to start basically granting anyone that asks it, and that'll become the rule.
Isn't that what you kind of want? I mean, it puts more pressure on the coaches to do what they say they're going to do in the recruiting process. I mean, a coach loves the idea of signing a 5-star at a position and then signing a better player the next year and then benching the guy who he already has. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh,
yeah.
I have depth now. But really what you don't want is that guy to go somewhere else and be good enough to start for them and play against you. And that's what they love. Like, they keep the ammo, right?
Right.
And no one else gets it. We're not going to use it, but now you don't have it. And now the NCAA is essentially saying, yeah, if you're not playing somewhere and you want to go somewhere else to play, go for it. I mean, a lot of these guys are transferring out of conference and off the schedule for that team anyway, so I don't see the issue with it. But that's what makes the Gibbs one funny, obviously, is because Georgia is on Tennessee's schedule every year. Now, Solomon at Michigan, he should 100% be cleared if Martell got cleared to go to Miami.
Yeah.
100%.
So. Luke's on to something. He says, let's just schedule a game in June, and then it fixes your school issue because you can be like, oh, they're all in class.
Summer school. Mini term.
And then you can practice from that first game to game two, which would be, you know, 2 months apart.
Yes, that's what we want. 2 months of fall camp.
Yeah.
No.
No, I mean, you could make it easier on them, you know. It'd just allow you to use a football instead of just always being lifting weights and having them work on their own. You could have a coach standing there. The same thing.
The new rules kind of allow coaches to be there anyway.
Yeah, well, that's nice. All right, we'll kick off hour three next. Stick with us right here. There's actually more football stuff to get into. We'll do that on the flip side.